Part 1. You have permission. In this section of the Happiness Dare, we will discover why happiness is such a vulnerable and scary emotion. Learn the true relationship between happiness and holiness. Find out how happiness relates to joy. Rediscover that God is the inventor of happiness and that He shamelessly entices us to chase after it. Take a dare that will change our lives and our world. Chapter 1. Stalking Happiness. It was when I was happiest that I longed most. The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to find the place where all the beauty came from. C.S. Lewis. For most of my life, I considered myself a happy person. Not the kind of woman who claps with giddy delight over her breakfast waffles, but the kind of woman who makes regular use of her grin. I grew up in a happy home with two parents who loved me. My life wasn't perfect, but I was exceedingly blessed. Mom and Dad took us every Sunday morning to the Brick Front Methodist Church, which sat a block away from our home. Sunday afternoons were spent with the radio tuned to 94.5 FM for Casey Kasem's American Top 40. There were countless games of tag and ghost in the graveyard. My hair was held firmly in place by Aquanet, and I kept my limbs cozy inside of leg warmers. The town library was three blocks from my front door, and we were permitted to climb onto the roof of our house to read our books. I slid every morning down a wooden banister. My mom was the town prankster. Every summer, she planted a plastic tomato in the neighbor's garden, giving them the false hope of the town's first crop. Dad drove a silver Mercury and taught us about hard work and loyalty. He worked for the same farmer's co-op for all of my growing up years. A banana seat bike carted me a good many miles around my hometown. My cat answered to Garfield. We didn't have air conditioning, but that meant I fell asleep on May nights with windows cracked open wide enough for the rain and lilacs to sneak in on a fragrant ribbon, floating under my nose during dreams. But there were hard days, too. A tapestry of funerals, breakups, surgeries, and teenage counseling appointments for my anxiety. I still have the cassette tapes my therapist used to try and hypnotize me into a better frame of mind. But even then, I had it in me solid to believe that life was generally good and that it was all going to work out in the end. As an adult, I've seen life mostly through the same rose-colored lenses. To me, the proverbial glass has usually been half full. Sure, there have been hard seasons. I could spend whole chapters telling you about the mess of my marriage in the early years, Scott's and my dual workaholism, and a long stretch of postpartum depression after our daughter Anna was born. I took a little yellow pill to keep me level. But even during those inevitable times when the glass looked half empty, I was always thankful that I had a glass and that there was something in it. Then I entered middle adulthood. I held the same glass as before, but it felt like the contents were leaking through a hole I couldn't find. I had fallen into a bland...